Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is The Big Show, the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is The Big Show. I'm taking a break from painting tonight because I am very, very excited. On the line with us, he's going to tell us all about his new feature film that they made, Turf Alexius. And Turf, how are you tonight?
Jamie, I am wonderful tonight. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, the new movie, it's a crime film, a crime thriller, I guess, is the genre. The Bastard Son, or Bastard Son of a Thousand Fathers. That's an interesting title. When I first saw it, I was like, ooh, what's this about? And then I saw the trailer, and I'm blown away. I started reading the show notes that were sent over, and I'm like, man, this sounds amazing. Now, this is coming out. It's not out yet. This is coming out later next month, right?
Correct. It's coming out September 16th. And try saying that title, like, with your mouth full of rocks, right? Bastard Son of a Thousand Fathers. It's an exciting title. Yeah, it's coming out. It's coming out September 16th. Yeah, we just got back last week. We had it's being theatrical released in Haiti, and we were out there doing a two-city tour. So we're the September, August 4th, and they loved it in Haiti, man. We're out in Port-au-Prince, Pétionville area, and then went out to Cap Haitien. The crowd was excited.
Nice.
It was good. Yeah, a really great showing there.
Well, that's awesome. I'm down in South Florida, and really big Haitian population down here, and they're always very nice and always excited about stuff. You know, that I imagine I don't care where you're from, when you see the trailer for this movie, if you're into crime movies, and I am, all this type of stuff looks really, really cool.
No, I'm glad you said that. We really want to – go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah, we really wanted to stay true to the genre. Like, the director, Lonnie Sarumi, wanted to do a film that really had that action, that really encompassed that drug business. And he showed the nice side, the potential positive sides, the negative side, the dark side. But he wanted to show all of it, all while keeping that action and real gritty and some real dark comedy in there, too. So I think it really came out nicely.
Well, it's very cool, you know, and it's You have the immigrant, and I'm not trying to, I don't want to give anything away to anybody, but, you know, it's an immigrant that rises to power with this new drug. And, people here, you know, at least when I do, I always think that's interesting. One of my favorite, I'm a big film noir fan, so, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, Scarface, and then the remake of Scarface, of course. And so what I thought was interesting is the immigrant in this case is Haitian, I believe, right?
You know, he's an honorary Haitian. He's actually Nigerian, honorary Haitian. Honorary,
gotcha,
you know,
gotcha.
It's all the same family.
Well, the reason I ask is because so often when people do use the immigrant kind of storyline and whatnot, these days it's usually Latino or, Cuban, Caribbean or whatnot. I find that interesting that, Haitian's part of the Caribbean, of course, but I find it interesting that you guys went, because that is such a large immigrant population right now, and I think it's cool that you give a nod to it, because not a lot of people are.
Absolutely. We want to show that struggle, that a lot of immigrants, you know, immigrants are the huge part of what's happening now, so it's very topical, but we wanted to really show that this guy's a little out of place, but he's trying to find his way, and he has this new product that he's really pushing and developing. He's willing to go to whatever ends to make it happen.
Oh, I'm telling you, and the product, the new drug sounds amazing. I'm in South Florida, and we love all that kind of stuff down here. You know, we like to eat people's faces off, and the crazy story this morning, I got up, I was reading the paper this morning, and apparently overnight, so that happened again. Somebody, the police went, somebody was eating somebody's face off. But the weird thing about that, everybody was talking about it on Facebook, and I had to point out, I said, you know, originally when that happened a few years ago, the scary part, the creepy part, is they tested the guy after, you know, or after he had, you know, they did the autopsy and whatnot, didn't have any drugs in his system. Just was, you know.
Like how do you get to that kind of level?
Exactly. Talk about a bad day, you know. I mean, oh man.
That was nuts.
I've had days where I want to punch a wall. No,
right? Like
I've never been to the where I
want to
punch somebody's face off. Exactly.
My goodness.
Crazy. But the interesting thing in your storyline about the drug that is made here is. It is crazy. It's the kingpin of drugs, but it also allows the user to, I guess, not fall apart, right?
I mean, that's what's really unique and fresh about this. You know, what's the point of having a bunch of crackheads running around terrorizing neighborhoods? You know, we want these folks to maintain and keep that supply going, but yet still be a functional member of society. So they're not doing things that. The side effects of being that kind of being a drug addict and want to do whatever it takes. And that's the magic of this
right.
drug. You know, it takes all the addictive qualities of all of them, but allows you to still be functional. You're like the best pothead in the world, you know?
I can see. I know people that would line up around the block for that. There we go. No, you guys, I'm reading in my show notes here. It took you guys a couple months to write this. You had that creative spark for the idea. And was this your first film, or have you done films in the past?
This is our third feature film. The first feature was called Critical Nexus, the thriller that I directed. And the last project we had in theaters was a documentary called La Caille, which is about two brothers returning to Haiti to search for family, and that was in theaters. So this is our third feature film, and this project is again written by Lanre Sarumi. He came with this topic, this subject, this script is pretty hashed out, and then we spent a couple months working through it, tweaking it to make sure that it was going to be what we wanted it to be, to make sure we had this action kind of film that had the edginess that we wanted to. And we spent a lot of time in pre-production to make sure we could give you a film that you'd be really happy to see and really engaging.
Nice, nice. Now, was this all shot? I know you're out of Chicago. Was this all shot in Chicago there?
Oh, absolutely. We toured Chicago, south side, west side, north side, any kind of side. We're all over the place in Chicago. We wanted to be authentic, you know. We wanted to really have that urban environment
right.
to really give you that grit. So we went all about Chicago. Well, you know, Chicago's like every other major city for the most part.
Right. Well, when downtown though does have that feel to it. You know, it's interesting when other cities, LA kind of does their downtown. I don't know. It depends. But New York, like I was recently in New York a couple years ago, and I hadn't been in a while, and I'm like, man, there's a lot of M&M stores and you know all this tourist. It didn't have this. I felt like I was in Las Vegas or something. You know what I mean? It didn't have the. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wasn't walking around, you know, counting $100 bills or anything. Still in a big city, right? But
Chicago has its neighborhoods.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. It's where it's real, you know?
Absolutely. Chicago has, you know, the neighborhood has a vibe. There's, you know, a lot of ethnic groups. There's something about it that has some substance where you feel like you're part of a community. You can get lost in a big city, but at least in Chicago, a lot of the communities, you feel like you can engage and be and belong to something greater than the millions of people that are around you.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's cool. So you guys wrote this. It was great to have somebody come with it pretty hashed out and whatnot. Now, do you guys do – I know nothing about filmmaking, so you'll have to excuse my ignorance on some of this stuff. But, I mean, all I know is what I've seen in the movies and television. Do you guys, like, do storyboards and all? I mean, that's – making a movie to me seems like, you know, oh, we're going to build Rome. You know, I mean, it seems like a pretty daunting task.
Absolutely.
I mean,
where do
you start?
A lot of it happens during your pre-production. So you try to see what locations can really work. So you don't have, so you're not having to build sets as much. I mean, your production designer is still going to have to make sure that everything is well-dressed, or you try to find as many venues that can work suitably for it. and then you dress it up or have spaces that already accommodate. I mean, we didn't do sound stages. Most of the stuff was shot on location. And we had spent a lot of time looking for ideal places that we could shoot where we could minimize where we'd spend on having to build major sets on that end of it.
Right.
We were very fortunate on that end of it. We just had to dress up a lot of places and treat it. And, of course, there's always ADR, right? You know, when you go to these loud places, you end up having to recreate that dialogue in the studio environment. So we made the best of the situations, though, for sure.
Right. Interesting. Now, let me ask you, I was talking to a filmmaker, a friend of mine, and he was making a period World War II movie, of all things, in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, don't ask. He was being creative with it. But he said he had a lot of problems with the background stuff. You know, he'd be doing a shot or whatever, and then a jet would fly over. And, you know, they didn't have those in World War II, you know, like the big passenger ones. I mean,
you know,
when you're filming on the street, I mean, does stuff like this, you know, somebody walk onto set, not intentionally, just kind of stumble on there, or do you have people kind of block stuff off, or what are some of the challenges with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the noise, and we're in Chicago, like a couple of places that we shot, we were stopping every 5 minutes we're near the O'Hare, or by Midway, actually, and so planes were flying over, it was like clockwork. I mean, we tried to call the airport, tell them they could just reroute all the planes. They wouldn't really listen to us. So that didn't work out so well for us.
You should have kept the boys down there with the guns in the back. You know, I'm kidding.
It's like, just can't you stop by another route?
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Now, this is a with indie film, do you have to submit it for ratings and all that? Like I see, like, you know, commercials for feature, the big Hollywood movies. I shouldn't say, because this is a feature film. Do you have to worry about that kind of stuff, or not so much?
Well, yeah, I mean, rating is essential. It depends on what your most movie theaters too. Like the bigger chains, they won't take a film unrated, or AMC will, but a lot of the other chains won't do it. The film is getting rated August 22nd, so it's right in the process now of getting rated, which I believe is going to lean towards R, more than likely R. but that's what we intended it to be. We'll get the official rating on the 22nd. I think it's healthy at this point as well, too, to make sure that, you know, people need to know what they're getting into. And every major project has it, and it's you have to reflect that. I mean, we put a lot of investors in ourselves, have a lot invested in this, and so we really have to get it rated to make sure that the project reflect the caliber that we believe it is.
Outstanding. Well, let me ask you, and I don't want to get too much into your personal fiscal business on the project, but I will ask, did you guys do a crowdfunding on this? Or, I mean, because making a movie can't be cheap, you know, or did you have private investors? Or what's the venue one goes about? Because I imagine that's an adventure unto itself, you know?
No, my great-great-great-grandfather was a railroad tycoon. Just kidding. Just kidding. We had investors that came in. We have a lot of producers. I'm an executive producer on the film as well. So we had a lot of our own money put into it, and then we had outside investors come in with additional finishing funds and part of the release strategy. So no, it took quite a few hands to do it at the scale that we wanted to do this project in. So crowdfunding is great if you have a built-in audience, built-in names. It can work for you, but as a general rule, I don't think it's not the formula. It's not part of a normal business plan. It can be good. It's not the traditional way to do it. It's not the way to be a primary business model.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm a painter by trade. I paint portraits and whatnot. And I lived out in San Diego for about 10 years, and I had a lot of industry friends. And it seems like at least once a month, they were, you know, getting a painting from me to auction off at fundraising parties and what have you. You know, I have painted a lot of paintings for indie films, not for in the movie, but just to be auctioned off at these parties and stuff. And or investment get-togethers and what have you. Interesting. Now that's let me ask you about distribution. Are you guys as an independent film? I mean, are you guys are handling all the distribution yourselves, or do you bring on a company to do that, or How does that work? What are the mechanics of that?
You know, our first feature, we went to the film market, and it got picked up by an outside company. And so we've gone through that route before. And then with our future projects, we realized that, you know, unless you have the 10, 15, 20 million or some of the bigger budget projects, these films don't always get the attention that it deserves. And we had learned enough and been involved in the business end of it enough, we realized, you know what, the way for our company to develop and the direction we need to go in is to launch a distribution arm to our company, which is what we did with our last document, the last film, Lakai. And so with this one as well, we're releasing it under our own umbrella, under the Four Features umbrella. So we are an official distribution company as well. So that's how we're doing it.
Well, there you go. And you're not having to cut that pie up too much. So I like that. That's and I guess that's what a lot of big Hollywood films do too. I mean, it seems anymore. What was the last movie I just watched? I think the Ghostbusters movie came out, and there must have been 7 minutes of logos and stuff at the beginning of it, you know what I mean? And I'm like, a lot of people were involved in this, you know?
Oh, yeah. A lot of collaborations to get to do the actual the funding of it. And it's still being owned by a studio. We'll have to own the last copyright or controller for release. But it takes a lot of hands, a lot of co-productions to get it together. But mainly, you have to have an avenue for recoupment. That's mainly the biggest thing is why distribution is crucial. I mean, you got to secure or at least give your investors a winning shot at recouping the money you put into, not just for the production and post, but also, you know, there's marketing dollars that are invested too. So if you don't have your plot out for how at least it's going to be recouped, at least it's theoretically recouped, then, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot automatically.
I hear you. Well, this is, you know, and the reason I'm asking this, I know some of the listeners, I imagine a lot of the listeners, they've been listening to my show. Even if I have musicians on, we're always talking about the business of entertainment. It's fascinating to me. So much of this goes on behind the scenes that the viewer in the audience doesn't even know. You know, all they know is a film got made and it's cool and they're watching it. And I guess that's all escapism, that's what they want. And this definitely has that. It has the goods, you know, as they
absolutely
say.
And what can be frustrating for a lot of filmmakers as well too is that, you know, you can have a wonderful film and it may not get seen if the distribution and the marketing is not in line or not lined up properly. So, you know, the gem is made, but it's marketing, it's how films are marketed that will allow them to come to light, or, you know, that allow them to actually breathe properly and get the proper recognition.
Right. Outstanding. And you guys are, you know, the cool thing is you've been through this, you've got that learning curve, a lot of that knocked out, you know, and that's very cool. Now, you're releasing this where's my notes here? This is going to be released in Chicago first. Makes sense. That's where you guys are at. That's next month on the 20th or the 16th. And then you're going to New York and LA on the 23rd, right?
That's correct. We're actually talking to some folks now from Miami. And so we're close to locking in another venue for the 23rd for Miami. So I'll keep you posted. I'll let you break that in. But yeah, so we're looking at Miami the 23rd as well too. So, yep, we're going to have to shoot you a message. Maybe we'll let you announce it. But, yeah, that's what we're looking at as well.
Well, that's outstanding. It's that's very cool. I've got to say, we will eat that up down here.
we'd have a lot of fun.
It's excellent. Now, let me ask you on a personal question. Have you always been into movies your whole life? I mean, when you were a little kid, you said, that's what I'm doing. Or was this something that came later in school or whatnot?
Yeah, as a kid, I used to watch, I don't know if you remember Three's Company with John Ritter. John Ritter was, I always wanted to be like him for some reason. I always wanted to be like him, that comedian and that slapstick comedy. That's what always attracted me. And so I ended up studying acting in school with theater. And from early on, I knew I always wanted to be an actor. The business activities, that I just kind of fell into that because I always been intrigued by that. And then that led to some other business opportunities. And so once you get a taste of the business side and having that, being in the driver's seat of your career, you know, as artists, you spend a lot of time waiting for people to approve you or give you the yes. And you realize sometimes you need to put yourself in a position where you can be in the driver's seat and saying yes to yourself. So then that way you can actually guide your career. Otherwise, you're just constantly waiting for that yes, and it's relationships and luck. You know, preparation and relationships and luck. So those so that's what it is.
Absolutely, I totally get where you're coming from too. Like I said, I'm a painter. And, you know, for a long time, it took me a while to figure that out. I was just doing commission work and whatnot, you know, painting people's kids and dogs or whatever, you know, whatever people would write a check for. And I was going crazy. I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to do this. You know, this is, my girlfriend actually said, you know, you got to start every like third painting or something, paint what you want to paint, you know, otherwise you're going to go, you're just going to go off the deep end.
Absolutely.
So it's cool,
absolutely,
man.
You're taking control.
Yeah, definitely. And now, folks, a couple of quick words from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these quick messages.
The way we live is changing, and our houses need to keep up. So come into Smarter Home Days at the Home Depot, and you'll find the next generation of products and projects to help you better protect and enjoy your home, and ideas to help you conserve water and energy. From programmable thermostats to water-saving faucets, you'll see that your home doesn't need to work harder, but it can work smarter. At Smarter Home Days, going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
I figured out who the neighbor around the corner is.
Oh, yeah?
I like him a lot.
Ooh.
He lets me talk as much as I want, is very simple, and has great plans.
Okay, I have to meet him.
Sure. Say hi. This is Metro PCS.
Metro PCS is in your neighborhood. Come say hi and get unlimited data, talk, and text for only $30, period. All on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. 1 gigabyte of high-speed data included. See store for details, terms, and conditions, and data management info.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with her rock and reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
YourWebDesigner.info has a special for Pop Rocks Radio listeners. Have a website designed for only $80. Normally, they're $100, but with the special code ROXX, Pop Rocks Radio listeners can save 20%. If your computer is sluggish and running slow, YourWebDesigner.info can fix it all up remotely, and with that savings code, you'll only pay $40. YourWebDesigner.info offers hosting and other various computer-related products. Please visit www.yourwebdesigner.info and let us build your future today. Remember, all web design includes a year of hosting for free and domain name registration for a year. www.yourwebdesigner.info.
Hi folks, are you looking for a custom gift for someone special in your life? Harper Lee Jewelry on Etsy offers custom hand-stamped jewelry created using pure aluminum, brass, copper, or new gold. Do you have a favorite inspiration or quote that you'd like to be represented? Well, no worries. Harper Lee Jewelry on Etsy can create a custom cuff or necklace that represents your interests or ideas with a beautiful piece of jewelry. You can find them at harperleejewelry.etsy.com.
Roxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite,
The Other Side of the Sun, Earth's Treasures Brought to Light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's Treasures Brought to Light.
Hey everybody, pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger painting. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. But it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have four or five per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal. But definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget, and, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now.
You're in a position as a filmmaker to do that now. That's got to be, you know, what a feeling, you know? That's awesome.
Absolutely. You have to, you know, you have to keep making movies, whether it's getting friends together and shooting projects, you know, shoot what you can until you're able to shoot what you want, you know. So you can't just have waiting for the $1 million and waiting for $3 million. Shoot for something a lot less. Keep shooting, though, because you have to keep grinding it out. You have to keep going through the process. That's the only way you can grow. You shoot what you can, and while you know that you want to have bigger budgets or bigger scope or bigger scale to do different kinds of projects, you have that in your heart. But until then, you got to shoot what you can.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Folks, once again, the name of this film is Bastard Son of a Thousand Fathers. And matter of fact, the website is very easy to get to, and you can find out more information about it. We have a link up, www.bastardsonmovie.com. Outstanding, man. Outstanding. Now, when you filmed this, what was the filming time frame? I mean, was this 2 years, 3 years, or how long was it?
It was hectic. We shot this film in 3 weeks. I mean, we were grueling 12 to 14 hours. Yes.
Wow. That's amazing.
I mean, that's
were
record
you guys
time.
Taking Bastard Son of a Thousand Fathers? No, I'm kidding.
I mean, that was a prerequisite. You have
coffee,
to at least experience it first before you can actually shoot. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, we finished the film in 9 months. I mean, overall, with post-production and then finishing between production and post, it was 9 months overall to finish the film. And that's where that's where Chicago really thrives. You know, we have a vibrant post-production community here that really shine. Noise Floyd did fantastic job. My cousin was the composer on it, John Pierre. We had a wonderful team, so it was fantastic.
Outstanding. And you got a whole bunch of folks that worked on this. And I was looking at the on the website, actually. There's a whole list of all the actors, let alone all the people under the tentacles outside of just the actors. You probably have a whole army of those folks as well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, for these kinds of projects to go well, it's controlled chaos. You know, you're coordinating quite a few folks in different disciplines, in the set design, the production, you know, talented audio, your gaffers, your grip and electric. It's an army of folks that are really dedicated on this time. And we had people that were wearing multiple hats as well, too, and they gave us all they had. And that's what this film got nominated for 5 nominations, is because of the love that people put into it, not just beyond the money.
That's outstanding. Outstanding. Well, congratulations, sir. Congratulations. Hey, no, I see on the website you guys got all those cool shirts. Then do you guys have merch for sale and whatnot yet, or is that coming?
Yeah, the merch is now available. It's available. That
nice.
You have to send me your size and info. That way I can get you an official BSOTF shirt that people are rocking now. We got to get one of those to you. But, yeah, everything's on the site off of that. And once they go to that merch right off the website, right off that BastardSonMovie.com, they can grab the merch. We got a cool contest, too, for tickets to the Chicago premiere. People can enter, and you also get a free shirt, too. So be sure to follow that and follow us on all the social platforms, IG, Facebook, Twitter. We're everywhere under the sun.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, let me ask you, Turf, I know we're promoting this movie and everything, and that's our focus and everything, but I have to ask you as an artist, the next project, are the gears turning already for it?
We're working on a supernatural trilogy. My brother and I have been writing it, and so we're dying to shoot this Think of the Blade, the kind of trilogy, Underworld. It's going to have that kind of supernatural element with action. It's going to require a little bit of a hefty budget, but we're close to finalizing the script, and we're hoping to secure funding for it and shoot it next year.
Nice, nice. Well, you know, let me know if you need a painting. I'll get one.
We absolutely will need paintings. We're going to have that. Please, this is the Damien Rocks official. We're going to incorporate it into the script as well, too.
That's right. I'm telling you, I used to know guys. This used to happen all the time. People would call me up, and they're like, I don't have an extra script, but here's the gist of it. I need a painting. I'm seeing an investor because they like to go in to see the investor and, like, set up an easel and put the, you know, like a display type thing.
Right, right.
I've done hundreds. Those. Yeah, that's you know, and you don't know what their vision is. They kind of tell you, and you're like, okay, I guess I'll try that, you know. But it usually worked out. So
that's
cool.
Fantastic.
That is cool. Well, I can't wait to see this. This is it's going to be out now. This has won some awards and whatnot. So this has already been out to the film festival circuit and what have you.
You know, a lot of the festival circuits couldn't really work out with our timing with our release. A lot of them have, like, you know, you're 6 months, 9 months out with their deadlines. But it was nominated by the Haiti Movie Awards in these five categories, like Best Director of Photography, Best Actor, Best Original Screenplay, Best Direction. So the award ceremony takes place in November. It's November 6th in Boston. So that's been one of our mainstay. But we really wanted to make this a commercial release, so really couldn't play with the timing of the festivals. We knew we wanted to release it in the fall, and that was really important for us to get it out by then. And the good thing is we know it's a limited theatrical on that end, but the film's going to be available nationwide on demand. Xfinity's already picked it up. The Dish has picked it up. So October 11th, regardless of anywhere in the U.S. people are at, they'll be able to order the film and watch it if they can't make it out to the theaters or if it's not close to the area.
Right. Well, that's outstanding. That is outstanding. Like I told you before we went on the air, me and my gal just bought a house, and one of my plans, we had this ginormous backyard. One of my plans is to put an outdoor theater out back there. So what a great movie to go on my theater. I love it.
Oh, that's if you have your outdoor theater, you got your surround set up. It's going to be an experience. One of the heaviest areas we invested heavily into for that aspect of it was the sound design for this film. It's heavy sound design because really want to create that environment, that realism that you typically don't get in these kinds of budget levels, but it got done nicely.
Outstanding. Well, folks, like I said, if you're this will be September 16th in Chicago. If you're in that area, and I know some of my listeners are in from my hometown, Detroit, that's only a 6-hour drive. You know, that's a fun weekend if you plan it right. Head on over, man. This is what a cool thing to go to. Big red carpet event. You know, premieres are fun, man. They're nice. And what a way to take your girl out.
I mean, she's been wanting to go on vacation for a while. You know, since you haven't planned a vacation, what better time to come out for red carpet? Come walk, come take some pictures on there, and come see a film that you haven't quite seen just like this. This is like your crime taken to another level. You know, for those who like that crime, that gangster kind of films, they're really going to get a treat off this one.
Oh yeah. And you know, it's just like I said, folks, if you haven't seen the trailer yet, get over to the website. It's also on Vimeo, and you can check that out. And I have it up on my website as well, jamierocks.us. Very, very cool, and it's just great. You know, and it's amazes me too. The casting is just seems so good, and I've only seen the trailer, and I'm this excited about the trailer.
We're fortunate to be in Chicago, where Chicago has nonstop talent. I mean, you know, a lot of the people that are in the film, I've worked with as an actor personally in other projects as well too, and so we auditioned, but we pulled these folks that we knew could deliver, and they blew it out the park. And thank you for noticing that.
Oh, that's cool, man. That is cool. Well, it's going to be an intense ride, folks, an intense ride. You know, you probably, if little Johnny is, 7 years old, you probably don't want to take him to this. I don't know, you know, maybe you do. I don't know. He'll probably be up late with nightmares, but that's what he's going to do.
Even before the ratings, people are like, well, how old can I have? Like, listen, it's not 13 and older. We'll get it. We'll be fine with this film. But obviously, it's going to be leaning towards
right.
the R. So it's not meant for 7-year-olds. 13 and older will be fine with the film.
That's right. There's no dinosaurs in this film. Maybe the next one, but not this one. Outstanding. Well, that's cool, man. I'm just so excited. You know, I just love doing the show and meeting cool people like yourself and, you know, people that are doing things and really, you know, making it happen, making it, not talking about making it happen, but actually making it happen. That's very cool. I wish nothing but the best for you guys, you know, break a leg on. Well, you know, the cool thing is most of the work's already done except the distribution. You know, I mean, now you get all the brass tack type stuff. But the filming and post-production is already in the can. Isn't that how you guys say it? In the can?
It's in the can. I mean, the film is delivered now. It's like it's available or soon will be available. It's even available for pre-order right now. And it's the fun part. You know, I get to talk with people like you, Jamie, and have fun promoting the film. This is the really fun part of it all because the hard work is, you know, with in production and post can be grueling as well. Marketing the film, this is like, hey, come out and enjoy the movie. You know, it's just about being good people and getting spreading the word. This is the truly fun, another fun aspect of it is releasing the movie.
Nice. Well, Turf, ladies and gentlemen, Turf Alexius, I want to thank you, Turf, for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know it's got to be a little hectic. These dates seem far off. They're not.
We're less than
I'm
4 weeks
sure you wake
out.
Up morning going, Do you now? Let me ask you, as an artist, before I let you go, do you get worried? I mean, do you still get the butterflies and stuff? You've been through this a couple times. Is it still there? Or has it gotten easier?
You know, the process you've been through. So a lot of like, you know, you have a nice little cheat sheet of ideas, but every film has its own,
right.
You know, has its own roadblocks, and you have to keep dancing around it. You know, timing is crucial and this project has a certain angle to it as well too, which a tone it has to take. But you know, when you're promoting a night or a day, you want people to come out and see it, because you know, it's not just for myself. You know, there's a lot of people who worked on this film, right? And the actors and the crew, and so we want the film to be seen and reviewed and appreciated the way they put all those hours into it. So there's a little bit of butterfly that happens before, you know, a major opening. It's controlled. I mean, we work through it, but we want the film to shine because a lot of people put a lot of dedication into it. That's all.
Right. You know, it reminds me of, you know, it was that I can't even remember the name of it. The Rock made this movie about I don't know, California had a big earthquake or something. This was like last year.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And I saw it on the cable, but it was an all right movie. You know, action packed. But I remember when it was about to be released, it was a big earthquake in Nepal or some Tibet or somewhere, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they put the release back out of, you know, well, we have to respect. And, you know, hey, I get it. I understand. But now that you said that, I'm thinking, man, that was a big deal when you put a release back because, you know, a lot of planning and stuff's gone into that. And, oh, man.
Absolutely.
I have a bigger appreciation for that now.
Absolutely. Fortunately, it's a major studio that is able to do that. I mean, they have the resources to pull that off, and you know, and still recover.
Right. Checks aren't held up. Right.
Yeah, they have the resources. I mean, it's a studio. So I mean, The Rock is phenomenal. Right. The Rock has really come into his own as it is too, though, in his fan base, and he's. I remember when he first started doing his acting, crossing over. The Rock is such a fun guy, and he does quite a bit. I really enjoy him.
You know, the interesting thing, knock on wood, wish him very well. You don't see a lot of – they just filmed the Baywatch here in our little beach town where we live. They filmed some scenes here. The whole town went down and checked it out. But they – you know, he's not one of those actors that has a lot of scandal and stuff that comes up. You know, you never see him in the supermarket on the tabloids, and that's a good thing.
No, absolutely. The Rock realizes he has the work to do. He realizes he values his position, right? He's worked to where he's at, and he realizes that he can go south pretty quickly. And so that's not what his focus is. So smart. He's been able to either be really good about it or pay off the right people. One or the other.
Right. Something. Well, and we wish him well. And we wish you well too, Turf. I, you know, this is just great, and I can't wait to see what all happens too. You know, I know everybody's gonna love this. I know they went nuts for it in Haiti. They're gonna go nuts for it wherever it's played. You know, I predict that. This is good.
You know,
stuff.
I like your prediction, Jamie. Thank you so much. You know, before we get off, just want to shout out to the producers and the director, Larry Sarumi. Mentioned the guys'
Definitely.
Names here. We got Arima Romeo. We got Hugh Grady, Chad Meyer, Tamara Neal. And so they work really hard on it, but they couldn't get on the call, but I want to thank those guys for the work that they did on the project, and thank you for the time. You're really going to enjoy it, and make sure you get me the info to get you that BSOTF official shirt, please.
I appreciate it. Have a great night, and everybody, I will have this converted to a podcast here directly. Probably take about 45 minutes, although the computer's been going pretty quick. So maybe sooner. That will be out tonight, up for free on iTunes and all the various social media. Also, if you're listening to the show on iTunes in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor. Hit the ratings and review. Doesn't cost anything. It puts us up on the top of the page, and that's where we like to be. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And, Turf, thanks again for taking time out to be in the show. I really, really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see what happens, and I can't wait to have you back for your next project.
I can't wait to come back. Thank you, Jamie. It's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Have a good night, everybody. Oh, hey, one last thing before I just want to give a big shout out to Natty Celebrity Services, who put all this together. They rock. And, you know, if you need someone to help you with your PR, get a hold of them. We have a link up and whatnot. Good stuff. Everybody, we're out of here. Have a good night. Thanks again, Turf.
Good night. Thank you, Jamie. Good night.
Jamie Roxx's Pop Rocks Talk Radio Show has been executive produced by Jamie Roxx for Pop Rocks Limited, recorded at Deerfield Beach in South Florida for broadcast at Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Roxx.
Blog Talk Radio.